in the court, please.
Please be seated.
The Honorable Supreme Court is sitting in.
We're here in the matter of IA American Warranty Corp versus Beachside, case number S1SC41286. Counsel, as I see it, you've reserved 7 minutes for rebuttal.
That's right.
With three of those being done by the TRD.
Correct.
Thank you. You may enter your appearance and begin your argument.
Good morning. Deborah Sloan, appearing on behalf of the petitioners. Also with me are my colleagues Ben Allison and Frank Crociata, appearing on behalf of petitioners, and counsel for the Tax and Revenue Department, David Middle, is also seated at counsel's table. May it please the court, thank you for the opportunity to be heard. The writ petition addresses legal errors with grave consequences to the petitioners, but more broadly on the statutory framework for tax adjudication in New Mexico, and the separation of powers between New Mexico's divided executives. For four different reasons, we are asking the court to enforce the plain language of the Fraud Against Taxpayers Act, which I call FATA, providing for the final resolution of claims outside of court in an alternate forum, once elected by the Attorney General, and to affirm TRD's exclusive authority to enforce the state's tax laws. The court wisely raised the question of whether tax claims are permitted under FATA in the first place, particularly in light of 4493E, which our federal courts call the tax bar. Yes, Your Honors, 4493E affirms that tax claims are not authorized in FATA. FATA lacks any specific, precise, explicit grant of the authority to enforce a tax claim.
So in this case, the underlying dispute is a question of statutory interpretation, correct, on the reinsurance?
The heart of this case, Your Honor, is whether we owe a tax obligation.
Sure, I appreciate that. But there has to be a decision whether non-admitted carriers can be deemed reinsurance, is that correct?
The existence of reinsurance depends on whether there is insurance, and the definition of insurance, whether something constitutes insurance, okay, is now an issue in Chapter 7 before the Tax Department.
And that's my question. What authority does taxation and revenue have in tax assessments to interpret that statute, to make that determination? I don't see it.
Well, the definition of insurance is in Chapter 7, the statute over which TRD exercises control. And when the legislature moved premium tax to TRD, the insurance department staff moved to TRD, and the plan was for TRD to absorb that knowledge and develop that expertise because the issue is devoted to an agency of the state of New Mexico.
My concern is you are placing the exclusive remedy of a statutory interpretation with taxation and revenue.
Well,
and I totally understand your argument with regard to the assessment and the investigation and whether taxes are due. I see that under the tax code. But under our structure, the Attorney General's office is the one that litigates the meaning of statutes. And they would do it under FATA, it seems, under our form of FATA.
Well, first off, FATA has to authorize that type of claim, and it is our position, Your Honors, that it does not. The tax law of New Mexico is quite clear that once the legislature enacted Chapter 9, giving the tax department exclusive authority to exercise all functions regarding taxation, and especially once that whole definition of insurance necessary to interpret premium tax was moved under the purview of the tax department, the legislature in doing so has authorized the tax department. The law of New Mexico, some of the jurisprudence from this court, the Gibson case, and interpret as interpreted by Colfax County, a court of appeals decision, has looked at the structure in New Mexico and concluded that the grant to TRD is exclusive. So for there to be another opportunity for the attorney general or a private citizen to bring a tax claim, there would have to be an explicit, clear grant.
So there could, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Thank you, Justice.
Yes.
Is the review of, is TRD's decision unreviewable then?
Well, there is a whole statutory scheme in place to address that. So TRD makes the first determination. It is then subject to review before an administrative hearing office. And then should there be additional protests, then you go to court, to the Court of Appeals for review on a different standard.
Someone has to appeal it, right? There has to be, if TRD makes a decision, someone has to disagree with it and appeal it to the hearing officer.
That's correct.
Who would be doing that in this circumstance?
Well, in this circumstance, because the attorney general elected that alternate remedy, which, and the issue in the writ, the election of the alternate remedy, is really independent of the questions that Justice Thompson is asking, because it assumes that the attorney general had the power to enforce this claim in court. It went to court to enforce it, and it elected an alternate remedy. So it made the choice to move the dispute from the court to this alternate forum. Once there in that alternate forum, which is statutorily prescribed and authorized, it follows the course of the requirements in the tax laws for how that claim will be adjudicated and finally decided. Here, Justice Vargas, it's a very interesting question because we don't believe that tax claims are authorized by FATA in the first place, but presumably here, once TRD made its decision, it would go back to the court and report that decision. Again, we disagree that that procedural posture is correct because upon election of that alternate remedy, we believe the lawsuit ended. It's as if you elected alternate dispute resolution and you were making a decision in a separate forum, but here that forum is a statutorily authorized agency of the state of New Mexico with an obligation to fulfill its duty to enforce the tax laws.
How does the memorandum of understanding affect your argument?
In two ways. First, the memorandum of understanding is very helpful to see the attorney general's position as it entered this case. In that memorandum of understanding, the attorney general recognized TRD's independent statutory authority to determine premium tax claims. It's in the MOU, page one. In the MOU, the attorney general also agreed that once it was moved to an alternate remedy, TRD shall manage and control that proceeding and exercise its independent statutory authority. That is in the MOU. Now, in terms of whether the MOU can change the procedures of FATA or New Mexico tax law, it cannot. The state does not allow parties to contract around statutes. And there, our brief includes all sorts of cases. The Attorney General's brief includes cases that says, by statute, you can't expand the powers that the legislature has given the Attorney General, and you cannot decrease the powers the state of New Mexico legislature.
Does the MOU address the issue of withdrawing the delegation?
It does not. What the Attorney General purported to reserve in the MOU is the ability to weigh in on any settlement of claims. I think what happened at TRD was wholly unexpected. Therefore, they didn't attempt to contract for that possibility.
Can I ask you, prior to the TRD taking over the premium tax, and it was with the superintendent of insurance prior.
Yes.
Was it the superintendent of insurance that was assessing the taxes at that point, prior to the statutory amendment?
Premium tax, yes.
Which is what's at issue here.
That's right, Your Honor.
Okay.
So that takes me to, I think, an important question for me. It's timing-based, but also statutorily based.
Yes.
What entity was the false claim made to, the alleged false claim made to?
Well, the false claim.
At the time it was made, alleged
right.
to be made.
Understood. Claim is a claim for payment, okay? So the false statement was made in insurance regulatory filings, but the payment...
To what entity?
Well, our clients report to a national entity. So we submit our reports to a national entity, and New Mexico has access to all of those filings.
Okay, let me get more specific for you, more granular. 449-4.
Yes.
The delegation, the authority of the Attorney General says the Attorney General may, in appropriate cases, delegate the authority to investigate or to bring a civil action to the state agency or political subdivision to which a false claim was made. Allegedly, to whom was the false claim made?
Yes. Counsel for the Attorney General will say OSI.
Then why is it TRD given the timing of the changes in the statute?
Because I'm trying to get to
first principles
here. Yes, because when the Attorney General elected the alternate remedy, it did not go to OSI. It did not invoke Chapter 59.
Isn't that contra to the statute?
It is contra to the statute for the election of the alt. The statute is clear that the Attorney General has great discretion in determining the claim in court or electing an alternate remedy.
I agree, but that delegation of authority expressly in the statute says that it is the delegation is to the political subdivision to which the false claim was made. It's not TRD, it's OSI.
Yeah.
So what are we doing here is kind of a global question for everyone.
Yes, and
that I'd like your answer to, and then I have another first principle question for you.
It is our view that we should not be here because the tax claims under FATA themselves are improper, and even if we are wrong about that, the Attorney General may elect an alternate remedy, and it elected TRD because at that time, the Attorney General operated under the law today. At that time, OSI was not empowered to adjudicate the claim. TRD was empowered to adjudicate the claim. That's why they sent it there. I would like, though, to help you with 4494, Justice Bacon. 4494 applies when no lawsuit has yet been filed. This is a pre-suit provision.
Okay.
And the Attorney General learns of a suspected violation, and it may investigate, it shall investigate, and decide whether to file an action under FATA. That's A. Under B, it says, or the Attorney General may delegate that authority to the political subdivision. And I do believe it contemplates whoever the false statement was made to. Okay, but 4494 does not even come into play here, Justice Bacon, because it's a 4495 case.
Okay.
4495 is the provision of FATA that allows a private citizen, a QI-TAM plaintiff, to sue. And so 4494 is for if the government brings a lawsuit. That didn't happen here. This is not a 4494 case. A private relator suit. It's a 4495 case. And once that happens, the decision for the Attorney General is, do you want to intervene?
I'm not sure I agree with your analysis that 4495 and 4494 are devoid of each other. I mean, we have to read statutes in pari materia, but I think that's a
absolutely
more important question for the Attorney General's office. So they don't live in isolation from
absolutely.
Each other.
And just for reference, 4496 is the provision for the alternate remedy. And so I wholly agree with you that the case, I believe the case was improperly brought. I wholly agree that the procedures of FATA have not been followed. Instead, the Attorney General executed an MOU taking from FATA the parts that supported its case, taking from New Mexico law, tax law, the part that supported its case, and created this new procedure which petitioners, never being served, not even aware of the lawsuit until 2023, after all of these elections were made, after it was sent to the tax department, had no ability to be heard or comment on. We simply were served with a summons from the tax department compelling us to show up and explain to TRD, not the court. We weren't summoned to court. We were summoned to the Tax and Revenue Department to explain why we do not owe this tax or to find out if we do. That's what we spent 2.5 years doing. Petitioners want to comply. We don't want our compliance uncertain for years and years. We spent 3 years working through the issue of, do we owe tax? Is this insurance? Is it reinsurance? Are our statements false or are they entirely accurate? And on the brink of that, the Attorney General anticipating an unfavorable outcome, and that's key. It's key for the court to understand that.
Chief, can I ask a question? Yes. No, she passed her time.
No, please proceed.
Okay. I have a question about the finality of this, because I still think, you can briefly tell me I'm wrong, two things can exist. You can have an assessment problem, and you can have a FATA problem. Okay, and those may get worked out in the end in the remedy. But the opinions you cite for the proposition that once it is in the hands of taxation and revenue, the AG is out. The government must choose a remedy and they're stuck with that remedy. Reviewing those cases, they're a little out of context of what is occurring here, because in those cases there is some kind of finality to it. There is a settlement. The state has intervened. There's no finality here. Does that matter?
There is.
Because and I want to address specifically cases you rely to tell us, once the government picks a remedy, that's it. They've picked this alternative remedy, they're done. But those cases you cite all have some kind of finality to them.
Yeah, those cases have finality because that alternate administrative proceeding was let conclude. Here, the only reason we don't have finality is because it was pulled back.
So what is the problem? I agree with you, but what that seems to me significant.
It
that
is
would
absolutely
allow the Attorney
significant.
General at that point, or the state or the government, whatever you want to call them, to clawed back to say, okay, I want to choose a different path.
Yes. We believe that the 4496H, the alternate remedy clause, because it speaks to the finality that occurs through an administrative remedy, intends for it to be final and does not give the Attorney General the right to pull it back when it anticipates an unfavorable outcome. There are other language, to Justice Bacon's point, reading it all in harmony. There are other provisions that, for example, ensure the relator gets to recover. If the tax department determines we owe taxes, the relator still gets to recover, and that statutory provision says it has the same right to recover had the action continued, meaning the action, the lawsuit doesn't continue. It ends when the controversy moves to the tax department, which absolutely will become final, Justice Thompson, if allowed, without interference by the Attorney General. The Tax and Revenue Department will complete the proceeding. They will determine if taxes are owed under New Mexico law, and if they're not owed, then our statements are not false.
Is it your position that there can be no New Mexico FATA action involving tax assessments?
That is our position, but that is independent from our position about this alternate remedy.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't go away.
Okay.
I told you I had more questions.
Yes.
And have not asked the more questions. Nobody is focusing on whether a writ of superintending control is an appropriate vehicle here. As I understand it, Chief Judge Beedscheid said, interlock will take too long. Why don't you go to the Supreme Court? I'm not sure he has the authority to tell you to do that or that it was appropriate. And I am not convinced that this case is properly before us. So convince me.
Yes, Your Honor, we are not here at per Judge Beedscheid, we are here because of the grave legal errors that have severe consequences, not just on the petitioners, but Judge Beedscheid's ruling right now gives the Attorney General the carte blanche authority to interfere with an independent state agency proceeding. And in its briefs, the Attorney General tells us it has that ability. It believes that it has the power to dictate the result of a tax proceeding, which would mean it could dictate the result to the Department of Labor or the Department of Environment or all of your New Mexico agencies.
Why can't that adequately be addressed in the normal course of an appeal? You've asked us to take extraordinary action here.
Because
so you
this,
tell me why the Court of Appeals, going to the Court of Appeals first was not an appropriate step.
Because here we have violations of constitutional proportion. The Constitution of New Mexico demands uniform taxation. You cannot have uniform taxation if the tax department is being told by the district court to stand down and let the attorney general tell us whether taxes are owed. You cannot have uniform taxation if the attorney general gets to dictate the results to the agency. If the attorney general is permitted to impose its view on an agency, you have a separation of powers problem of constitutional proportions. You have a separation of powers problem sitting before you now, ripe, because this dispute should properly be with the tax department, either because the FATA suit isn't allowed in the first place, or pursuant to the notices that the TRD issued. It is not for the attorney general, and quite frankly, it's an issue not for the court.
So is it your interpretation of Chief Judge Beanshide's order, and I'll just quote, relating to the subject matter of this action, is it your interpretation of that order that it is anything related to the subject matter, that it's that broad, or is it limited to the FATA claim?
The language of the district court order is broad, and it prohibits TRD from doing anything further, including...
Even if it just it's initiated its own brand new independent
absolutely.
Action.
Which it clearly has the authority to do for tax years 2020 forward, right? If we eliminate that timing issue, clearly, to determine whether we complied with the tax laws for 2020 forward, we're now in 2026, only TRD can make that decision. Yet the district court tells it can't. And that also demonstrates how you are not going to have uniform taxation if you have the district court deciding taxation for early years and then TRD deciding the issue for subsequent years. That is why I believe the legislature insisted and statutorily gave to TRD all powers to enforce the tax laws, to administer and exercise all functions related to taxation.
And a technical question, who submitted this form of order to Chief Judge Beanshide for signature?
The Attorney General and or the relator.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions from the bench? Thank you, Ms. Long.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Good morning, Ms. Now.
Good morning.
You can enter your appearance and begin when you're ready.
Good morning, Chief Justice and Associate Justices. My name is Corey Naughn. I represent the state of New Mexico. With me at council table is Director of Government Litigation, Edward Marshall, and counsel for the QTAM plaintiff, Kate Furlick. I want to start with what the underlying allegations in this case actually are. It is about the false statements made to the state of New Mexico to avoid paying premium taxes. It is those false statements that give rise to liability under the Fraud Against Taxpayers Act, and that's what's actionable under the Fraud Against Taxpayers Act.
So it was the Office of Superintendent of Insurance at the time that the state, that's who the false statements were made to?
Yes, at the time, starting in 1985, those false statements were made to the Office of Superintendent of Insurance as well as national regulators. So if we start with FATA as the basis for liability in this case, we are faced with the authority of the Attorney General to bring litigation to pursue relief for these claims. The Attorney General has the power to delegate that authority, and to pick up on Justice Bacon's question, the delegation of authority was to the Taxation and Revenue Department at the time because the legislation that transferred oversight of premium taxes from OSI to TRD also transferred the resources and personnel to assess those taxes. TRD had the resources and the personnel to decide what was owed under as those premium taxes. So
is it because the decision to try the determination of what is owed is uniquely within TRD's authority?
The determination of what was owed was within the TRD's expertise and resources.
If, to follow up on that question, if the Attorney General had a FOTA action, they'd intervened in a FOTA action. Taxation and Revenue files an assessment under 7117, is that the Attorney General's position that Taxation and Revenue has no jurisdiction to pursue that assessment?
No. It is the Attorney General's position that these were those are independent actions. But in this case, the Taxation and Revenues Department action derived from the Attorney General's delegation of authority. Taxation and Revenues authority is derived from
the let's leave this MOU just for purposes of my intellectual understanding. Let's pretend this MOU never happened.
Okay.
We have a fraud against taxpayer. We have an intervention. I think that's what we have here. Taxation and Rev goes, this is interesting. I'm going to assess. Is it the Attorney General's position that Judge Bischai's order says Taxation and Revenue has no jurisdiction to make a determination under 7117?
No, Your Honor. It is our position that Taxation and Revenue could not pursue the claims that arose from the false statements, but TRD could still assess taxes for moving forward from when they...
Do you read the order to say Taxation and Revenue is precluded from any assessment action in this year or going forward?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Was that brought to Chief Judge Bischai to clarify the order?
The order affirming the lifting of the stay, that was, I cannot remember if we had a presentment hearing on that or not, but this was entered after the hearing.
It doesn't, I would say it doesn't present that way because the order as signed still has the respectfully submitted Raul Torres language in it. So are you taking a position on behalf of the Attorney General here today that relating to the subject matter of this action, language that you drafted, is limited to the false claims under FATA, full stop, and TRD still has its own independent authority to do whatever it wants to under its statutory creation?
Yes, Justice Bacon. And I think that gets to a larger point about what the some of the petitioner's arguments.
So is there any distinction between the FATA claims and what the TRD is undertaking to do?
Yes, there is a distinction.
What's the distinction?
The distinction is the Attorney General has taken a position by intervening in this FATA claim, originally filed by the relator, that these taxes are owed. And
I understand that, but aren't the taxes the same taxes? Regardless of if it's in the FATA or TRD, it's the same tax.
The taxes are the same taxes. It's... TRD was meant to decide what taxes were owed and how many taxes were owed.
I understand, but in this case, really, we're talking about the same tax. Can I ask you another question?
Yes.
So we all understand the procedural posture of the case. The delegation is made to TRD. Taxpayers and TRD spent 3 years back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. For whatever the reason, the Attorney General makes the decision, I don't like the result here that's coming about, and I'm going to intervene, and I'm going to take over the case. Where's the justice in that? Where in the statute does it allow that to happen? And number one, and number two, where's the justice in that? But now the taxpayer has to go around and relitigate 3 years of litigation.
So the justice in that, or to answer your first question, the broad statutory authority of the Attorney General to pursue relief for these claims for the false statements under FATA, and also the Attorney General's general constitutional statutory authority to pursue claims for relief on behalf of the state of New Mexico, allows the Attorney General to hold the position and to direct litigation and say these claims are more appropriately pursued now under the current circumstances in district court where they're originally filed. There was a
There's a delegation, and the statute says once you make a delegation, the person or entity you delegate to has all the powers of the Attorney General.
It does say that the...
So the Attorney General seems to me is giving that up.
I do not think that's not how I read the statute, Your Honor.
Where do you read the statute to say the Attorney General can withdraw the delegation?
I think it's actually discretion, like Judge Beachside pointed out, the Attorney General had the discretion to delegate, and necessarily implied in that discretion is the ability to withdraw that delegation. Additionally,
discretion to grant doesn't mean discretion to then take away.
I think the text of 4494B also supports that the delegation does give power to the state entity to pursue these claims, but it does not divest any power from the Attorney General.
It says the last sentence of B. If the Attorney General has delegated authority to a state agency or political subdivision, all references to the Attorney General in the Fraud Against Taxpayers Act shall apply to the delegee.
Your Honor, I think that does not preclude any references to also apply to the Attorney General. In this case, Taxation and Revenue Department.
To the Attorney General as outside of FATA? Is that what you're saying?
In the context of this FATA litigation as well. The overall text and structure of FATA gives the Attorney General the strategic authority to pursue these claims.
So he doesn't like the strategy of no tax, so he says, I'm going to take it over.
The Attorney General does not believe it was no longer appropriate, to use a word in the 4494, to keep that delegation. And it's that Attorney General's decision under FATA.
If the taxation revenue and the petitioner in this case, through those 2 years, had conversations, resolved the tax issue, and entered a settlement, is it the Attorney General's position that the Attorney General would maintain jurisdiction and at that point still bring it back into FATA?
I don't think so, because we have the language of 4496 where it says that the findings and conclusions in the alternate remedy are final on all the are conclusive on all the parties. But we don't have that here. We have no final settlement. We have no final conclusions or findings that preclude return to litigation.
Is there potential for contradictory outcome here? That's what strikes me. Because, as you have indicated to me, is that relating to the subject matter of this action still allows TRD to go and do what it does looking to assess a claim, and they say there isn't one. AG moves forward into the district court, and the district court finds a contrary result. What do we do then, and whose authority controls at that point?
I think,
and does one become law of the case because it's decided first?
There's nothing that would become law of the case that's binding on the other, because they would be two separate, distinct actions. There could be some procedural irregularities that come up if these are happening at the same time, but the district court, or when we return to litigation and litigate these FATA claims, the district court is in the best position to determine that yes, these are not, or no, these are not reinsurance. Yes, these taxes are owed. The district court interprets the statute.
The district court has greater expertise in determining whether there should be an assessment of a tax than TRD.
The district court has greater expertise to interpret the statute that says the taxes are owed, not to evaluate the facts.
But then doesn't that undercut, if TRD makes a decision and says no taxes are owed based on their expertise, it's still creating contradictory result. And what if that TRD decision is appealed? I mean, you're asking for two decisional bodies to make a decision potentially at the same time. And that is A, inefficient, but B, a greater concern to me is that you have two completely different results.
I think that would be an inefficiency, but I do maintain that the district court, and as it's appealed potentially to this court, has the final say on what the statute says. Then during appeal of the tax proceeding, that doesn't become law of the case, but that's precedent for the Court of Appeals after the tax proceeding to say, yes, these taxes were actually owed.
But if the tax department continues on with this, isn't that... And I understand what you're saying here today, but I got to go by the written order. That's what I learned as a trial court judge, right? It's the written order that controls. It seems to me that based on the language of the written order, TRD cannot proceed separately, cannot proceed on these claims. They're basically enjoined from doing so.
TRD cannot proceed on these claims as it started from when the delegation occurred and the alternate remedy was elected. If TRD believes, like Justice Thompson mentioned, from today forward, they want to initiate this assessment proceeding, TRD is free to do so. We're talking about these false statements that were made starting in 1985 that gave rise to the liability under FATA, not the tax assessment.
Can the claim, meaning, which is defined, which means a request or demand for money in this instance, because we're not talking about property or services, can that claim be made without TRD doing its work?
It can be made through the regular discovery process, which is where we're returning to if this court denies the petition and we're back in district court.
So battle of new experts as opposed to the experts your boss delegated to.
Not necessarily. We still have like all of the work that the petitioners and other defendants and the tax department is not going to go to waste here. There's can be a free exchange of documents that were produced in the tax proceeding, and we can go from there and use that.
But if there's no assessment, how do you get there?
We use new experts and try
but
to get
the experts gathered. Can't do the assessment. Only TRD can do the assessment.
Not the actual assessment, but just calculation of how much taxes were actually owed.
That's an assessment.
That goes to the
I mean, that just goes right to the tax code.
It goes to the heart of the matter. The following up, we're talking about the same tax, whether it's FATA or TRD. So when the delegation is made, seems to me TRD at that point has jurisdiction to hear and determine whether taxes are owed on two bases. One is the delegation from the Attorney General. Two is its independent statutory authority to investigate whether taxes are owed and make assessments. Agree?
I disagree with the second part.
Does TRD not have authority to determine whether taxes are owed?
They have the authority in an independent proceeding that they initiated. Their authority in this case derives from FATA, which was delegated from the Attorney General.
So if the day before the FATA case was filed, TRD said, we're going to go look and see if there's an assessment due in this particular instance, and then FATA is filed, both could proceed.
Yes, and I think we have to still distinguish about the liability under FATA is derived from the false claims, not from back taxes owed. And I think to hit on another point that I disagree with petitioner's counsel on is this was never a Chapter 7 proceeding. Chapter 7 governs how the tax department operates, but this proceeding was initiated based on the delegation under FATA, based on the Attorney General's partial delegation of authority to investigate these claims. The Attorney General is not trying to tell the tax department how to do its work. It's not trying to tell it's not trying to interfere with independent tax department proceedings. The Attorney General is simply exercising his authority over a case that he intervened in that he has the authority to control. And he never ceded that authority when the delegation and the alternate.
I want to try and clarify once again what the AG's opinion position is here, because it's getting very mushy.
Okay.
TRD has its independent authority to dig in and look and see if there's tax due and owing.
Yeah.
Can they do that for the claims for the time period that is governed by the FATA claim today?
I don't know the exact answer to that question.
It's really important. I mean, it's critical because that's where the separation of powers conflict is the Chief Judge Beachside's order seems to say that you've told me, well, going forward, it doesn't control them. But I need to talk about the time frame at issue here. And the time frame at issue here, can TRD tomorrow say we're starting anew? Yes, we have all this stuff, but we're starting anew, and we're going to do our own thing, and we're going to look and see if there's an assessment here to be made. Can they do that under the order as drafted?
I don't think so. I think
so. How is that then not contra to the authority and the power that the legislature has given to TRD?
I think an important distinction here is that the Taxation and Revenue Department was not aware of these claims.
I don't think that matters. Once they are aware, so let's talk about today. They are aware that there is some consternation about this, and they're going to look at it and decide what they want to decide, and they have the power to do that under their own enabling statutes. And I don't think FATA says that once the AG steps in and takes over the QTAM plaintiff's position, that it then erases what is otherwise TRD's statutory authority, independent statutory authority. That's the conflict here. And so I hear you saying, nope, FATA wipes all of that away. And I need you to tell me what language in FATA would then wipe all of that away. Because I don't really care about the MOU, because the statutes have greater authority than the MOU.
I think it goes back to the Attorney General when he decided to intervene, and it was Attorney General Balderas at the time, took a position that these taxes were owed, and that the false claims, and that position was contained within the False Claims Act allegations. And I think I've gotten a little bit off of your question.
It's okay.
But it's the Attorney General's authority over the QTAM case itself to pursue these claims on behalf of the state of New Mexico. I think if we are successful in this litigation and the state does recover those taxes, I do think that TRD probably could not recover have a double recovery for the state.
I'm not concerned about double recovery yet. I mean, when you have two different decisions, you got a challenge. But what the AG seems to be arguing today is that for this time frame that's covered by the FATA claim, TRD has no independent authority to do anything, simply because the AG said, hey,
it's mine.
It's mine, and now I'm giving it to you, and now I'm taking it away. But that acts as though the independent delegation of power by the legislature to TRD doesn't exist, and I don't know how to reconcile those two things.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, Chief Justice, and I don't really have a clean answer for you based on the language of the order. But
isn't the answer basically that Judge Beachside maybe went a little bit too far, that he could allow the Attorney General to pull back the FATA claim, but he can't prohibit TRD from pursuing that same claim on its own under its own constitutional power?
I think that is an acceptable answer, is to clarify the order to say that the tax department cannot pursue these claims that arose under the FCA or FATA, these false claims, but affirming that TRD still has the authority to pursue these taxes that were owed. And I see my time is up.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Sloan.
Thank you, Your Honors. If I may go back to the writ petition and Justice Bacon's questions, in addition to the constitutional violations that we discussed, which are enormous, I also wanted to point out you clearly have issues of first impression here, which the public interest favors addressing now at this juncture, and that is the one point that the Attorney General agrees with us on. In the Attorney General's brief, it agreed that these issues should be determined now, and the standard for superintending control has been met. Secondly, your concerns about contradictory results are spot on. Even if the order doesn't preclude TRD from acting now, Justice Vargas pointed that out, is it just that the district court went too far. You could have allowed it to be pulled back, but you have to let TRD do its own thing. It's important to understand that TRD has itself a 10-year look back period. That is a statutory provision. So TRD, even if you ignore the rest of our arguments, has the exclusive authority to determine the tax question as of 2020 and 10 years prior. It goes all the way back to 2010. And so the concern over inconsistency is absolutely real, because you will have two different decision makers for the same time period, not even just going into the future.
Let me ask my question and flip that. Okay. So it goes back to the original question I have. If the underlying dispute here is the interpretation of reinsurance, the inconsistent, I'm not even sure whether this is our tax and rev or OSI realm, but tax and rev makes a legal decision on that. To Justice Vargas's point, who appeals that? You have tax and rev who made the decision, and you have the taxpayer that goes, okay. Does the AG intervene? Does the whistleblower intervene? There's, and the reason I highlight that is because two things. As I read 7117, there's a presumption of correctness on the factual questions. How much do I owe? $10, $15, $20. It's not on the legal question. And so this inconsistent remedy to me is flipped. And in our state, those questions of statutory interpretation are left to the Attorney General. Not, we give some deference to the agency, but they don't have exclusive jurisdiction, unless you can tell me I'm incorrect on that, and I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, but they do have exclusive jurisdiction over the tax statutory construction. And right now, to determine this dispute, this is what we did with TRD. TRD has to look at the premium tax language and determine what it applies to, and then compare that to the conduct of our business transactions. And that requires a determination of, in the first place, has there been an insurance transaction, in which case the reinsurance part is easy because we all agree reinsurance is not taxable. It's the underlying transaction. And right now, the authority to define what is insurance is exclusively vested with TRD.
If the Attorney General brought a declaratory judgment action on that question, would that have to be referred to taxation and revenue?
That's an interesting question, because if it was framed purely as an issue of statutory interpretation, I don't know who would object to that jurisdiction. This is not that at all, though, Your Honors, and you can't overlook what this is. This is someone, and the Attorney General, trying to use FATA so that they can get treble damages and penalties, accusing us of fraud, which we have only defrauded if we don't owe, if we do owe the tax. And now we have the tax department perhaps concluding that we don't owe the tax, which means there is no fraud at all. And that is an injustice that only this court can remedy. And you asked the Attorney General, who stood up here and said, we are not telling TRD what to do. And I urge you to read the transcript from the lower court proceeding, where counsel, who was speaking for the Attorney General, told the district court the tax department's job was to collect based on the legal theory taken and announced by the Attorney General, which cannot be questioned by the tax department. So there, the Attorney General wasn't even acting as an advocate for the state. They don't have decision-making power. They can advocate for the state in litigation, and the judge would decide. But the Attorney General said, we get to decide the tax question, and we get to tell TRD whether tax is owed. And if they're not going to follow through with that, we're going to yank it and go back to court and try again with Judge Beachy. This, our proposed interpretation of both the alternate remedy, how it works, and whether tax claims are permissible, you all will hopefully be the final say. But as you determine the statutory construction, ours is the only one that could possibly harmonize FATA with the constitutional mandate for uniform taxation, with the separation of powers doctrine in New Mexico, with TRD's irrefutable exclusive authority over all functions related to taxation, and it's the only one that protects the petitioners from this gross injustice.
We ask you to grant the petition.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Middle, you have 3 minutes.
Madam Chief Justice, may it please the court. Taxation and Revenue has exclusive jurisdiction to decide tax cases. That's what it says in 911-3. That's what the legislature's decided. It follows from the New Mexico Constitution that there should be uniformity in all taxes. The reason that others are not allowed to interfere in tax cases are a few. One is uniformity. Two, as a policy, we strive to present uniformity to businesses. Businesses come every day and they want certainty. If you have an AG who doesn't like the result, that destroys the certainty, that destroys the business atmosphere in the state. The mere fact that Chapter 59A was not included at the time of the original complaint was filed should not trouble you. I mean, I go back to the MOU, which I know you don't like, but the MOU was entered into after premium tax was transferred. This was an election by the relator and the AG to let Tax and Revenue do its thing. It came after. So therefore, you don't even have an Article 4, Section 34 issue. This isn't an act of the legislature. This is an act of the relator. Now they come in later and they decide they don't like it, notwithstanding what it says in the recitals in the MOU and notwithstanding what it says in the body that TRD controls the proceedings. Okay? They don't like it. They withdrew. They can't withdraw. There was nothing for them to withdraw. As you pointed out, all rights of the Attorney General were in TRD, and I submit the tax bar was in place. The tax bar was in place because also they argue, and this is this court's interpretation in El Paso Electric, a negative implication, and citing Garner and Scalia, reading law, that negative implication canon was based on the supposition that the expression of one thing implies the exclusion of the others. There's nothing here that says insurance premium tax is in FADA.
But it does, FADA does say, if a false statement is made, let me ask you the question directly I asked the petitioner. If a false statement is made that implicates the payment of taxes, is it the Department of Taxation's position that only the Department of Taxation can address that false claim?
No, Your Honor, because that's not what happened here. If you go back and look at the Second Amendment complaint, paragraphs 112 through 198 all talk about non-payment of premium tax. The recital in the MOU.
That's the damage. I'm talking about the claim. The FATA claim that, is a false statement.
That is the claim, Your Honor. I don't want to be argumentative, but that is the claim, is the premium tax. Let's be practical here. We're not here because of a report was not filed. We're here because premium tax wasn't paid. The money in this case is in the non-payment of the premium tax. A report not being filed is a $10,000 fine. They're arguing that there's billions of dollars here. I mean, we got to get practical. So when you talk about withdrawing it, what the bottom line is they were withdrawing it because, and this is what happens in my reading of the case law, where there's a conflict, is usually it's the relator wanting his share of the pie. They don't really care about, they care how much, of course, but at the end of the day, it's how much of the share of the pie do they get. Look at the MOU, over half of it is dedicated to attorney's fees.
Your time is up, if you'd like to conclude. And
can I say one more thing?
You can take one moment to conclude.
I'd like to point the court to Massachusetts versus EPA. In that case, there was a conflict between the EPA and the Department of Transportation. What the United States Supreme Court said was there's no reason to think that two agencies cannot both administer their obligation and yet avoid inconsistency. unfortunately, here there does seem to be some adversarial relationship, and that we should be able to work together is more aspirational. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I want to thank the parties for their arguments. You were very helpful to the court, as well as your papers. We will take this under advisement and get you a decision as soon as we can. Court is in recess.
It says 16 seconds.